Well, our final hour to go of open lines for you here on Coast to Coast AM, so we'll get right to your calls when we come right back. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Let's go back to Logan in Los Angeles to finish up with his story. Logan, so you were a little boy, I guess, when something was happening?
This is correct, yeah. So I grew up in a house with lots of paranormal activity, things disappearing, lights turning on and off, loud footsteps, when no one else was there or when no one else should have been upstairs or downstairs. So, yes, when I was younger, I was 7, I saw a apparition of a man in my mom's room. I was home alone and, very detailed, outline of a man. And everything inside the outline, like as I explained, looked like when you saw a puddle of water in the street with oil mixed in it. Like,
yeah, that shimmery look.
Yeah, those psychedelic kind of swirly, like bright colors. That stuck with me, and I saw it for a good 3 or 4 seconds. This wasn't a flash, I saw it for quite a long time, and then it disappeared entirely. So, obviously it stuck with me my whole life. So here's the kicker. Fast forward 15 years later about, I'm listening to Coast as a young adult, and you had a show about the paranormal, and a caller calls in and said he told you that he saw an outline of a man, basically everything within the outline, and this is verbatim what this caller said, everything inside the outline of the man is when you look into the street and see a puddle and you see oil mixed in with psychedelic swirl colors. I literally had to pull over because I couldn't, would have been unsafe for me to continue driving because I was just, my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
I
can imagine. My gosh.
It was absolutely, and as the years went by, and I got older, I told this story my whole life, but as the years go by, you start to wonder, did I see that? I don't know. People told me who were skeptics, you probably just, you saw something.
Well, to get it reinforced by hearing it from somebody else is amazing.
Absolutely. And I had never heard of any, I've done lots of research online, through your show and just other anecdotes, and I've never heard anyone explaining anything like that before. And then when I heard this caller call in and explain the exact same thing I saw, it just blew me away. I don't know if it was the same entity or the same kind of entity, but absolutely blew me away. And I've been waiting to tell a story on Coast to Coast.
What if it was an entity that called us?
Well, then hopefully he'll call in again.
That's right. Hey, Logan, thanks for the call. Worth waiting for. Let's go to Jesse, truck driving in Virginia. Hi, Jesse. Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, George? Great show tonight.
All is well. How about you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Reason why I'm a little perturbed, but I'm okay.
What happened?
I'm a North Carolina boy, and actually I'm right here in Virginia right now. But I'm literally from where I live is about 4 to 5 miles from Carolina. I'm right on the border.
Okay.
I'm sure you heard about Bruce Springsteen canceling a concert coming here.
Yes.
And it's right up the road, not far from me at all, just a little ways up the road here, because he didn't approve of our HB2 bill. I'm really perturbed because I am a conservative American and I do stand for conservative values, obviously. But I'm perturbed because it seems more and more as time goes on that our speech is being stifled if we don't agree with what the liberal side of things says. And it's unfortunate because, North Carolina as a whole, for the most part, most of the state is pretty conservative. And what's going on is we're being bullied by businesses all over, the country and government leaders like, I think it was a Oregon in New York that said they weren't going to let any of their employees come down here by airplane, that they were going to stop all traffic, and businesses boycotting us and all these different things. And I even heard that there was something about it, which I don't care about this, but adult sites that were going to block their IP addresses in North Carolina so that North Carolina residents can't use their IP. address with their websites and just stupid stuff. But my thing is, you know, I believe everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, that's what America has granted us, is the freedom to be able to speak how we feel. But unfortunately, I just feel like what's going on now is that we're being bullied and said that we have to accept and we have to go along with everything that's said by a certain minority group of people. And if we don't, then you're going to pay.
Yeah, you get chastised for that.
Right, absolutely. And every time you speak out in any way against it, the cop-out is you're a bigot. I mean, and they don't really have proof or factual evidence of any of that. It's just a phrase that they use. And it's very unfortunate because for me, you know, I'm just thinking about the fact that I have, you know, I have a six-year-old daughter and I have a three-year-old son. And I'm thinking about all the crazy pedophiles. And, George, you know as well as I do that in the world we live in today, there's more sexual deviance now than probably ever. And, I mean,
they're more vocal, that's for sure.
Right, absolutely. And not only that, but, you know, there's a lot more. It seems like there's more abductions now more than ever and things like that. But I personally don't like the idea of somebody that, I don't know for sure whether they're transgender or what's going on, them coming into the bathroom with my six-year-old daughter. And you know, people say things like, two arguments I hear about the thing is, one is, well, transgender people aren't after your kids. Well, first off, I don't know if that person's transgender or not. I'm going based solely off their word. There's plenty of pedophiles that would be glad to lie to get into a woman's
sure.
bathroom.
Sure, or trick you, or put on an outfit to deceive you.
Right, absolutely. And to me, security overtakes PC in this situation. And, you know,
Well, here's my take on this, Jesse. I think in an era of trying to become so politically correct, we have overstepped our boundaries and we've lost sight of common sense. And, I mean, look, God love everybody. If nobody's hurting somebody, do what you want to do. But there has to be some restrictions and standards for certain things. And though we don't talk about the subject matter at hand, my gosh, you have to use a little logic every once in a while. But Springsteen had a right to do what he wanted to do. It's his business. It's his concert. It's his money. But I got to tell you, you know, there are some issues that just don't make any sense anymore. And I hear what you're saying, Jesse. I hear what you're saying. Tom, we've got another text, and we'll do one more after the break. What do you have?
Knowing you, I'm not sure you can answer this, but Brad in South Dakota texts. He says, hey, George, short and simple, what's the greatest movie ever made in your opinion?
Well, there are lots of great
movies.
That's
why I don't think you can answer it.
I mean, lots of great movies. But one of my favorites, if you were to ask me that, is It's a Wonderful Life. Yes. The Christmas movie with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed.
Great movie.
And I love that. And I love it primarily because I was a little boy when my mother sat me down to watch it with her. And I remember that. It was just, you know, it was just me and her, and she was telling me about it, and she said, you'll remember this movie forever, and she was right, and I'll always remember it. So it's a great movie, but there are great movies. We've seen them all. Comedies, you name it, we've seen it.
It's a hard question.
Oh, it is. Bad Santa, that's funny. All that. I miss John Ritter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What about in the last 2 years?
Movies?
Yeah.
You know, The Martian was pretty good. I like that. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a lot of the Oscar-winning movies until they come out on DVD. I'm the kind of guy, I used to go physically to the movies a lot, but I kind of like it when they come out on DVD and you can watch it in the comfort of your own home. I think it's really cool. You make yourself a little dinner, you do your thing, and, you know, you start it, stop it whenever you want. It's great. I like that.
You might not have to go to the theater pretty soon anymore. I mean, it's getting so comfortable at home.
It is comfortable at home. You were talking about a movie that's coming out pretty soon.
It's funny you say that. The George Clooney, the new one, Money Monster. I think it opens in May. looks really good.
All right. Maybe we, well, see, how soon do they hit the DVD shelf after they hit the
Depends
screen?
On how well
Some
they do.
Some of them come out fast.
Depends on how well they do opening weekend.
All right. Okay, thanks, Tom.
See ya.
Next up, let's go to Baltimore. John's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, John. Good morning to you.
Good morning, George. How are you?
Good.
The frequency's off. That's why everybody's so crazy.
Something's wrong. Really right. Is.
What is it? 528 hertz? Got to reset the frequency. That's,
yep. That's we have to do something.
Here's a movie for you I just found. Is anybody there? Michael Caine.
Michael Caine's great actor. I can't remember the movie. Is that a new one?
It's fairly new, yeah. He throws a little magic in, and it's about a little boy, full paranormal type stuff. Pretty cool.
Okay.
I think you'd like it. So I have this theory on the aliens. I've been wanting to ask you about this one.
All right.
I think the Mayans, Sumerians, the Egyptians figured out how to get off world, and they took off. And they're coming back to get the DNA to fix themselves, maybe, because, you know, space travel, you know, it changes your body.
Sure.
It's who knows what, and maybe this is what happens. You know what I mean?
Or what if they came here and just left again?
Well, that could be.
That's possible.
And then I see this these underground tunnel or, like, facility kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
30,000 people in this thing.
I think there are a couple of those facilities out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. One in Turkey, I think there's. But I'm thinking, like, it's either the Biru, just kind of swing around soon, right? Hopefully we'll survive that one, but we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah.
But the aliens has always baffled me, because I got a feeling that they, you know, we see the ships that the Egyptians had. Who knows what they had at Göbekli Tepe, is that what you say? You know, civilizations, technology, Atlantis, you know, light bulbs in Egypt, you know.
Well, we've been visited, and we're going to continue to be visited.
But I'm wondering if they had the technology to go out. Or they gave them the technology and they used...
Or they took them.
The knowledge.
What if they just took them?
Took them where they taught them how to build the stuff, and they actually did build the stuff for everyone.
See,
you know,
I think we have been to the moon a long time ago, not just in 1969 and onward. I think we had past civilizations that had high technology that went to the moon, might have gone to Mars... And, you know, they have obliterated themselves. They're just not here anymore. But I think we had that kind of technology. Let's take a few more calls before the break. Let's go next to Seattle. Tim's with us. Tim, welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I wanted to talk about North Korea. And on the one hand, I agree with everything you say about him. However, on the other hand, I wouldn't be surprised to wake up and find the North and South had united.
And if they do, I hope they would unite without him around.
Well, when you look closely at it, you see that Kim has been killing the generals who are pro-China.
Yes. No, you're right.
Kim has been selling military-owned factories to his friends and probably to himself. I think what he wants to do is be a billionaire like Putin.
Yep.
And the top U.S. intelligence guy went over there without security to talk to them. If our guy thought they were really crazy, he wouldn't. I think the problem is that China absolutely doesn't want to see the North and South united.
Well, I would hope that China would rein him in, though. I mean, his rhetoric is pretty dangerous.
It's dangerous, but like I say, when you look behind it where he's killing the pro-China generals and stuff, I think they're trying to reunite with the South, and they may have to kind of get something going where the South makes a quick push into North Korea, and the North Koreans just don't fight. Because China just doesn't want them to be united. One thing a lot of people don't realize is during World War II, a lot of the war crimes that were committed by the Japanese,
mm-hmm.
they were Korean troops under Japanese officers.
Yes, that's true. And you know, legally, the war has not ended in Korea.
Right. Oh, and these missiles he's been firing them from subs. I recently saw in the military naval magazine where he's standing on a warship and the missiles are coming up out of the water.
Well, that's dangerous because you could park one of those puppies right off the western coast of the United States.
Right, or off of China, too.
Well, that's true. See, that's why I say I think we got to do something. This guy's dangerous. New Hampshire we go. Jay, it's your turn.
Are you serious?
Yep. 100%. I'm not kidding. It's you.
George. Wonderful. Pleasure to talk to you. You've been available to me so many frickin' times, man, when there is nobody around, nothing, when I'm being stolen from, when I'm being lost from, when I'm being treated on the bottom of a fucking waterfall.
Can't say that. You can't use those words, Jay. You just can't use them. I'm going to keep you on hold, and Tom's going to tell you why. But you can't use those words. I know you were getting emotional, but you can't. Mike in Indiana, welcome to the program. Hi, Mike.
Hey, George. How you doing, bud?
Good, my friend. What's up?
Hey, have you ever heard the word Alcoa?
Oh, yeah. The aluminum company, right?
Yes, sir. Well, we just lost 600 jobs last week in southern Indiana.
Oh.
Between $20 to $35 an hour.
Oh, my God. What are they going somewhere or just cutbacks?
Well, in 2009, they went in cahoots with Saudi Arabia to spend $11 billion over there to build a giant smelter over there. And it finally came to roost last week.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sad. I mean, we haven't heard much about it on national news or anything, but, yeah, it came to roost last week.
And, of course, Carrier is moving to Mexico, the air conditioning company.
Yes, sir. So, and naturally, I'm a Trump supporter now. I got to vote for Trump for jobs.
I got to tell you, Mike, that's going to be a strange, strange convention, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I've always been a registered Democrat, but not anymore. I was a big Hillary supporter back in 2008.
Not anymore. What turned you off about her?
She's a liar. Strictly a liar. And Benghazi, lying to the mother, saying the mother lied.
There's an old saying, how do you know if a politician's lying? Their lips are moving.
Yeah, their lips are moving, exactly, sir. Now, I just want to get that off my chest and let the public know what's going on with Alcoa, the good corporate neighbor.
That's sad. 600-plus jobs. Well, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take final open line phone calls. So those of you who are on hold, just hang there. We'll get to you. We'll take one more text message as well. And we'll do all of that when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're talking about psychic attacks. And, of course, pharmacist Ben joins us from criticalhealthnews.com. He's going to be with us for 2 hours taking your calls about incredible things that can help you out. Okay, welcome back to our final segment here of Open Lines on Coast to Coast. We've got another great week of programs for you. Oh, by the way, on Thursday, Jeffrey Mishlove is joining us, the PK man, his true story about mind over matter. It's just going to be a great program. Joshua P. Warren joins me for a couple hours Friday, and then we'll go into our special Friday night and the Saturday morning Open Lines. And then, of course, live programs for you Saturday and Sunday, and we'll do it all again in my last week in St. Louis next week before I head back to L.A. Okay, that's the schedule. Let's go to the phones. Susan, east of the Rockies, somewhere truck driving in Ohio. Hi, Susan.
Hi, George. It's great to speak to you again.
You too. Now, whereabouts in Ohio are you? I was just in Cincinnati.
Oh, I know. Actually, the company I work for is out of Cincinnati. I'm actually in Columbus.
Okay. Boy, it was cold there this weekend, though. Wow.
Yeah, it was. It's going to warm up, though. It's supposed to be in the 70s after Thursday.
You couldn't wait for me to get there, huh?
Yeah. But I wanted to talk to you about the story that you had on today about the innocents going to jail.
Yes.
It was really interesting because I have a friend who, she's a longtime paralegal. She's actually trying to get a business going, kind of a watchdog thing for jury trials and things.
Uh-huh.
She's like, nobody watches them. And with beats and that and everything, she's like, you know how they're not supposed to speak about it. She has caught people.
Oh, she might be very successful with this kind of a company.
Well, she's had a few roadblocks. Nobody seems to be interested. It's like the courts don't want to be watched.
They don't want to be watched, and then they don't want to pay for it.
Right. Well, actually, I don't know if you remember, she was one of the people who broke open the Steubenville case of the rape, who caught all that on the internet that actually convicted those guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
She knows her business then. She knows what she's doing.
Oh, she's been doing it since high school. She's been in it over 30 years. And, I mean, it's big propaganda. And she said, you wouldn't believe the corruption that's out there and what I've caught, but nobody will listen.
It's everywhere, no doubt.
Oh, it is.
So what is she going to do if she can't get anybody to listen?
Well, she's gotten a few people to listen. I've told her what she needs to do is you need to get a hold of a senator or a congressman or something and go public with this. You know, bring it to the attention of the public.
Yeah.
And that people need to be watched. I mean, if you're in a, I mean, just this month I was selected for jury trial, you know, for jury in my home, in my county. And it's like, the only thing I keep thinking is, if I get on a jury, we got to get this right. You know, you don't want to send an innocent person to jail.
No, not at all.
And it's a big responsibility.
If you have, you know the saying, Susan, if you have any doubt, you let them go. Let's go to Anonymous in Minnesota. There you go. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, hi. So you're anonymous tonight.
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
I have to apologize. I called not too long ago, and I wasn't there, and I left you with dead air, and I'm really sorry to call you.
That's all right.
All right. But I had two suggestions and just wanted to weigh in on the topic tonight. And the first suggestion is having maybe like an action line where somebody, you know, maybe allow one caller every once in a while to you know, that maybe a law needs to be changed and, you know, everybody calls in. I think maybe you have another word for it or another term for it.
Like a hotline.
Well, kind of where everybody kind of phone bombs them and, you know, says, hey, this isn't acceptable.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And so the other one would be kind of the other suggestion is a safe list and, you know, for whistleblowers. And so that... I know there's a lot of controversial stuff and people kind of are afraid of stepping on toes, but maybe almost like where...
That would be an interesting show.
Yeah, well, and, you know, we've lost a lot of really amazing people and to real suspect terms. And I think if somebody falls off the list, it would be everybody else's job to continue on.
No, I'd like that idea, a whistleblower show or something.
Well, and mainly a list so people can feel safe, you know, and they can support the other people on that list. And if somebody does go out and go missing, that, you know, their work is like not just kind of forgotten about. I guess the one doctor that was removing like the alien implants.
Yes, Roger Lear, but he's gone now. He's died.
Right. So then the other people on the list would, you know, kind of continue on his mission.
All right, I like that. That's a good idea. Tom, you've got another text, our final one for the night. What do you have?
We do, from Stacia in Kentucky. I heard you guys talking about music earlier. I wondered if you think a person can actually gain better health through listening to music.
No question about it. Music makes your mood change. And regardless of what kind of music you like, I think it could help you dramatically. I've seen it happen, Tom, time and time and again.
Yeah, well, they've done studies. I mean, it's the brain and music. And I mean, Neil Slade talks about it.
Yep.
So that's absolutely. And by the way, you mentioned Roger. Sure you missed that guy.
You two were pretty close.
Yeah. I went to his funeral. I mean, the guy was just fantastic. And you know that, too, because you've hung out with him before.
Oh, yeah. And funny, too. Oh.
He used to pull those pranks on you at the events.
Oh, my God. He lived to prank me.
Didn't you get that grasshopper joke from him?
I got that. You mean the one with people grazing?
The grass, not grasshopper, yeah.
No, well, he was the one that I used in the joke. He was my way of getting back to him, and he loved it.
I will never forget when we went to that operation.
That was something. That was really quick into my tenure at Coast to Coast, wasn't it?
It was pretty early on, yeah. And it was just very intense. I can picture that girl right now.
We still have the audio of that?
I could probably find it somewhere, but we do have the pictures up on the website.
We got to play that. Okay, thanks, Tom.
See ya.
Let's go to Brad in Angels Camp, California, west of the Rockies. Brad, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What's up?
It's good to be on again. Well, when we were talking, when you were talking with the last guest about
death penalty and stuff like that. Shit. Yeah.
It brought to mind. I listened to a community radio station, and every Thanksgiving they do like a Indigenous Peoples recognition kind of thing.
Okay.
And so they did, this was a couple of years ago, they had a song that had been done by somebody, and they dubbed in Leonard Peltier's voice, or Leonard Peltier, I forget how you say it. It's spelled like it's a French name, so I always want to say Peltier, but yeah. I hear Peltier a lot.
I hear that,
anyway,
too.
He was convicted in the mid-70s in the wounded knee thing.
That's right. Good memory.
And his co-defendants, I think there were three other Native Americans that were like just, they were plea bargained out. And the feeling was, you know, somebody's got to, you know, essentially hang. Somebody's got to pay for the FBI agent that was killed in that whole thing.
Yes.
And there was not a whole lot of commentary about, you know, Indians that were killed or why they were demonstrating, you know.
Gosh, I remember that too. What a horrible time that was.
Anyway, but Leonard was sent, I think, to life in prison. And in the years that ensued, or have ensued, they're still going on. There, I think, a judge that was involved in this thing and in the trial at some point, and you know, various attorneys and stuff, and even I think some of the FBI people said they did not have any evidence that Leonard, you know, they never had any evidence of who fired that shot. They couldn't even decide whether the FBI agents, you know, if one of the FBI bullets hit him and killed him. But they said somebody has to pay for this, and they let everybody else off. So Leonard went to prison, and he's still there.
How old would he be now?
God, I don't even remember how old he was when he went. But it's
put. Well, he was born in '44, so that would make him about 72 years old.
I just know he's older than I am. It seems to me like, I mean, he looked pretty young in his pictures, but, you know, that was then, and I was much younger. And I'm 63 now. So, I mean, yeah, he's got to be at least 10 years older because he was pretty politically active and he was willing to, you know, take a stand.
Yeah, he's still in jail and he was a he was a Lakota. Let's go to Everett, Washington now. Mike's with us. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call and thanks for your show.
Thank you.
And I, well, I have a couple of things on my mind, but first off, I was wondering if you still think that Jeb Bush might make the Republican ticket.
Yeah, I still think, one, I think it's going to be a brokered convention for sure. That's my guess. But I, the long shot is when they squabble around trying to figure out who's going to get the nomination, I think they're going to give it to Jeb Bush. I think that's a distinct possibility. I talked to a political expert in St. Louis today, and he said that would be a horrible decision for the Republicans because Bush can't win. He can't beat Sanders. He can't beat Hillary. But I told him, I says, the power elite could pull this off. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, they got a lot of money in them. And even maybe vice president or something. I would just
something. Wondering. Yep.
And could you tell me on the, you brought, you wanted to talk about North Korea tonight. And here a few weeks back, there was a small sub that was missing.
Yes.
Did that, did they ever find that?
No, I don't think so. God knows where that puppy is.
Okay. Well, that's two. I got one more for you.
All right.
Okay. You know, it's, we talked a lot about the police tonight.
Yep.
And, you know, when I was growing up, if I said cops, I that was a no-no. You didn't use that.
Yeah, you can get away with that now. Even the cops call themselves cops.
Yeah, I mean, a cop was a bad
bad slang.
You know, and it just kills me these days when I'm reading a newspaper by a fine journalist or listen to a reporter, and they call them cops.
Yep.
There's no respect to anymore. And
well, it's accepted now.
It's accepted. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, it is. Hey, Mike, thanks. Let's go to Houston, Texas. Jim's with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Jimmy. You got about a minute.
Thank you for getting me on. I have a serious problem with Tyson Chicken shipping their product over to China for cheap processing. It really bugs me in that that chicken's got to be on a boat for I don't know how long to get to China.
And then it comes back, right?
And then it comes back. I don't think the chicken's coming back, okay? I think that chicken's going to China as a payment. I don't think that chicken's coming back. And do you want to buy that chicken when it floats back over here 2 months old?
No.
This is crazy, man. I'm never going to buy Tyson again. And in fact, Tyson, you need to move to China.
All right, there you go. We got to do another Sound Off Open Lines night, too. Maybe we'll do that next week because just about anything goes. Look, we're getting close to wrapping things up for this program. I want to thank all of you who continue to support Coast to Coast as we hit another milestone of about 615 stations in North America. I can't keep track of them, and it continues to grow bigger and bigger. I was given a great honor by Talkers Magazine as one of what they call the Heavy 100, and that's all because of the listenership of you. So thank you so much. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Lottasour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.